In 2015, Indiana expanded its Medicaid program as part of the Affordable Care Act. There are 32 states that have taken up that option. When Indiana did it, they were one of the states that did it through a waiver, which means that they did it in a way that allowed them to sort of modify the terms under which they would expand Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. And the name of their program, the name of their waiver, is the Healthy Indiana Plan. That waiver extended for 3 years, so it had to be reauthorized. And last Friday, HHS extended Indiana's Medicaid expansion waiver for another 3 years, but they made some changes to the waiver. So in addition to the way that KIPP has been operating for the past 3 years, HHS allowed Indiana to become the second state, joining Kentucky, in imposing a work requirement on the Hoosiers who get their health care through the Medicaid expansion.
And what does that mean, a work requirement, in order to get Medicaid?
So this is something that's never been allowed before in Medicaid under Democrat or Republican administrations, and that is conditioning eligibility for Medicaid on working a certain number of hours a month. Medicaid is a healthcare program that provides healthcare services to low-income and vulnerable populations across the country, such as seniors, people with disabilities, children. This work requirement would apply to Hoosiers, adult Hoosiers who are in the Medicaid expansion, and so that is single adults and parents as well. And basically, if a person doesn't demonstrate that they are working or that they meet another list of exemptions, they will lose their health care coverage.
And just to be perfectly clear, that means that poor people in Indiana, in order to go along with the Affordable Care Act expansion in 2015, that means that Indiana put a number of stipulations on going along with that. Is that a correct summarization?
Yeah. So when Indiana originally expanded in 2015, their waiver was called the Healthy Indiana Plan. And it was different than the way that the other states in the country expanded Medicaid, in the sense that, A, people would be charged a premium, and if they did not pay the premium, they would either get a lesser benefit package if they had very low incomes, or if their incomes were above the poverty line and they missed their premium payments, they would lose coverage entirely. There were a number of other facets to this waiver, but that's sort of like the core structure of how Indiana structured its program. And so that's the construct under which Indiana has been operating its Medicaid expansion since 2015.
And it sounds like we're not alone in at least having a work requirement for people to be considered eligible for Medicaid in the state. You had mentioned Kentucky also has something like this. Can you elaborate a little bit about that?
Sure. So as I said, a work requirement has never been allowed in Medicaid before. HHS granted Kentucky the first work requirement, approval for the first work requirement a few weeks ago. That has not taken effect, and obviously Indiana's will not take effect immediately. Indiana's already is being litigated in court, because there is a strong case to be made that Medicaid is a health insurance program and that there is nothing in the Medicaid statutes that allows HHS to condition eligibility on whether or not somebody is working.
Just to switch gears here for a second, can you talk a little bit about what some of your findings were, or at least what the state's findings were when it came to these different requirements that were put on Hoosiers who were applying for Medicaid under the state expansion Healthy Indiana Plan and HIP 2.0?
So as part of a waiver, a state needs to come up with a hypothesis, something that they're testing, and then along the way they have to do some evaluations of that waiver to see if they are meeting their hypothesis, to basically if their hypothesis is true. So back in 2015, when Indiana expanded Medicaid with its Healthy Indiana Plan, they were testing premiums and how assessing premiums on people would change their behavior specifically around whether they would maintain coverage and how it would impact their use of preventative services. So along the way, Indiana, like I said, has had to do evaluations of how the waiver is working. And there is data that showed that 60,000 people with incomes above the poverty line who missed premium payments did not enroll in coverage or did not maintain their coverage. So that's 60,000 people who dropped Medicaid coverage because of the premiums. And then there's also, for the people below the poverty line who missed their premium payments, they got put into a less comprehensive benefit package. And those individuals, the evaluations show, are less likely to use preventative care services, are more likely to visit an emergency room than people with the more comprehensive benefit package. And what we think that this shows is that Healthy Indiana's construction has harmed the people with its premium assessments on people, has actually harmed beneficiaries because it has caused tens of thousands of them to not maintain their Medicaid coverage. And for those who are able to maintain their coverage, they are less likely to get the care that they need.
About 60,000 people had dropped coverage. And out of how many in Indiana, roughly?
About 400,000 people.
Mr. Crosscall, if we can shift topics a little bit here yet again. Seema Verma, who was also up for, or at least was widely spoken of in being in consideration for the director position of Health and Human Services, which we've just seen go to Mr. Avar, the former CEO of Eli Lilly in Indiana. Seema Verma was instrumental in getting the Healthy Indiana Plan and these Medicaid exemptions and requirements passed for the state. Now that we see Mr. Avar in the director position of Health and Human Services, does that seem like Indiana is kind of at the center of healthcare and Health and Human Services agencies?
Yeah, there's definitely a Indiana influence on HHS, and not just Seema Verma, but some other employees that came from Indiana, and obviously Vice President Pence. You know, the state expanded Medicaid when he was governor. And Seema Verma, prior to joining the administration, she consulted with Indiana on its waiver, and she consulted on with Kentucky when they were putting together their waiver proposal. She was supposed to have recused herself from consideration about whether or not to approve Kentucky or Indiana, and it appears that she did recuse herself. But it's also very apparent that this HHS and this CMS is encouraging states to bend the Medicaid rules to make it harder for people to maintain coverage, and so that we expect that to continue to be apparent as future waivers are considered by CMS.
And Mr. Crosscall, can you talk a little bit more about some of the findings that you've seen or that you've analyzed, particularly with regards to the state's own evaluation of the Medicaid waiver?
Sure. So the state has done evaluations by hiring the Lewin Group to do evaluations of the Healthy Indiana Plan. And then there's also been some outside groups that have conducted research in Indiana on the Healthy Indiana Plan. And I think both for the state's evaluations and those outside evaluations, it came through that people really didn't understand how HIP works. They didn't understand whether or not they owed a premium. They didn't understand if they missed a payment, what would happen to them, whether they would lose coverage or whether they would lose benefits. And so this came through again in the evaluations, and it came through in some focus groups that were done. There's a tremendous amount of confusion about HIP, how HIP works and what happens to people if they don't meet some of its requirements.
Mr. Crosscall, thank you very much for speaking with us today. Is there anything else that you want to make sure that listeners in Indiana know, particularly with regards when it comes to the state's Medicaid waiver?
I just would say that it's a very good thing and Indiana expanded Medicaid as part of the Affordable Care Act. You know, there are 400,000 people in the HIP waiver right now with health care coverage, and that's a good thing. But the way that HIP is constructed, it has depressed enrollment and made it harder for some low-income people to get the coverage they need and to maintain that coverage. So really the goal should be looking for ways to make accessing health care coverage simpler and making sure that eligible people are able to enroll in the program and get the services they need, rather than putting up roadblocks by charging premiums that people can't afford or conditioning their coverage on employment. And so that should be the goal, rather than constructing barriers to care.
Jesse Cross-Call, Senior Policy Analyst with the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
My